Hello, and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday. I am sick tonight, but I didn't want to cancel another show and not have a show this week, so I'm powering through. I am feeling a lot better today than I was yesterday and the day before, so I'm hoping I wake up feeling fine tomorrow, because at 3:30 in the morning, I have to get up and fly to California, so I'm not stoked about the flight, but I should feel a lot better. I'm draining out. I feel a lot better today. I don't have a fever or anything like that, so just the sinuses now, and which sucks on the airplane.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be fun on the airplane. We've got a great show for you guys tonight. AJ's running a little bit late. He'll be here in a second. Before we get going, though, please go check out our good friend, TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get all kinds of great hats, backpacks, hoodies, t-shirts, leggings. You can even get a really cool custom Couchstream Break the Cycle pillow that you see on our couch over there to snuggle with when you watch our couch streams. You can get a 10% discount by using BTC at checkout. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, star, or become a member of the YouTube channel under all of my videos by hitting the join link, where you can get into a private Discord server and get up to 30% off 2 weeks before it goes to the general public if Top ever comes back and does this thing with us. We'll see. We'll see about that soon. Guys, like I said, we do have a great show for you tonight. Let's check in with my wonderful co-host, Mr. Ryan Kurtz. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Baby has been driving my wife nuts today, so that was fun coming home and managing that, but I'm here. I'm tired, but
yeah, you were sick too. Through.
Yeah, I was sick. The
on Tuesday,
LPIA had our state convention this weekend. I went to that, and that's probably where I got sick
at the convention. Yeah.
Yep. Then I came home. You know, spent a couple days on my ass.
I can't tell you how many conventions I've gotten sick at, dude. It's like a lot, though. It's a lot. I mean, I've been to like 200 conventions or something like that over the last, you know, 7 years or something. And so, like, man, I'll never forget Atlanta in 2020. I think I got COVID. I think it was the first time I got COVID, and I was ill, dude. I thought I was going to die for like a week. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't walk up the stairs. It was brutal. Guys, we do have a great show for you tonight. I hope everyone's watching. If you're watching, I'm going to start doing this before the show instead of at the end of the show now. If you're watching this on Rumble or YouTube or Kick or Twitch or Twitter or Facebook or Rumble, did I say Rumble?
You said Rumble.
Or Odyssey. If you're watching on any of those platforms, because we are live currently to all of those platforms, please hit that subscribe button. We need to get those follower counts up. We love you guys hanging out in the live chats with us, and you get alerts when we go live from those channels when we do so. If you're not familiar with Kick, that's a new platform that's really, really cool. It is mostly for gaming, but they have podcasts and such on there too. They let the creator keep 95% of what they own. It is amazing. It is one of the best financial platforms out there for sure. But Rumble's been kicking and screaming for us too. We did 60,000 views on last week's episode on Rumble. So pretty awesome stuff. 40,000 on the episode before that on Rumble. So definitely go to YouTube or Rumble or whatever platform you're watching us on. Hit that subscribe button right now. Right now. Hit it right now. So you guys can check out all of our shows Tuesdays and Thursdays when we go live. And then, of course, all the other content. I am doing gaming content now as well on Twitch and Kick and Twitter. No longer doing the gaming content on YouTube just to keep our algorithm podcast related. But we're doing a lot of shorts, and I'll be doing other content as well. Anyways, guys, we've got a great show for you tonight. I'm very excited. Our guest tonight is a great friend of mine. I love this guy probably more than just about anybody I've met in this movement over the last, 10 years. He's an amazing author. He's wrote The Compact of the Republic. And of course, Thomas Paine, A Life of Radicalism is his newest book. He writes for the 10th Amendment Center and Mises. Occasionally, he is Mr. Dave Benner. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. It's 61 degrees here in Nashville, and I'm still laughing because I remember we both got sick coming back from Georgia in 2022, and then you got the COVID test live on Dan Smotson's
show. I was not sick. You guys got sick, and you were my roommate when we were in Georgia, and everybody at that convention got COVID, and you sent me a message, and I might have had a head cold or something, I don't know, but you were like I got COVID, I just gotta let you know, because we were at the bars hanging out. I think I probably hugged you 25,000 times, and we shared a room, and I took a COVID test live on the show, like a at home test, and I was negative. So I guess I'm too powerful for that stuff now. Who knows? Who knows? So how are things going with you, Dave? What have you been up to? How's the book selling? Is everybody enjoying it?
Yeah, doing well. Actually, I'm really excited about that because I don't know if you'll be there. Maybe you will be, but I'm going to the Pennsylvania convention next weekend. Was invited to actually speak there on Thomas Paine. It's the 250th anniversary of him coming to America. So are you going to be at that one?
I will. I'll be. I have my ticket. So I'll be in Pennsylvania Saturday afternoon, and there's a presidential debate that evening. And then as soon as the debate and everything is over, we're driving. My friend Rob that's on the campaign that lives in New Jersey is leaving, and we're driving over to New Jersey, and then I'm doing the New Jersey convention on Sunday. So they're not far apart, a couple hours. So yeah, I'll definitely be in PA.
Though. I'll see you on Saturday, though.
Yeah, I think we're doing something similar with New York and Massachusetts as well. I think I'm flying into New York, doing New York, and then driving over to Massachusetts as well. So, you know, that area up there, the Northeast, is just very easy to traverse, you know, especially once you get into the colonies, as I like to call them, right? Or New England, whatever you want to call it. Dave probably got a better sense on the colonies, right, buddy? That's your thing, right?
Yes. I mean, New England, you wouldn't call New York a New England colony, but Massachusetts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I know.
sorry to be that guy.
I know. I just, you know, when I think of the Northeast, I just think of all of it as the same. It's all part of New England, right? But no,
that's it just is not easy to travel between them up there compared to like flyover country, Midwest, like where you are. So
yeah, if you drive through Nebraska the long way, you'll be like, why the fuck am I still in Nebraska? Seriously, it's crazy. AJ, what's up, buddy? Thanks for showing up. We got AJ in the house. We are live, so you haven't come on camera yet. Just to let you guys know, you guys that are in the live chat watching, last week, my audio kept cutting in and out really, really bad. And I've turned it up this week, hoping that it rises above the noise gate. But if it's cutting in and out again, please let me know so that I can try and fix it. All right, guys, first things first, probably the most important thing in the news today, and Dave's got a lot to say about this, I'm sure, Julian Assange extradition hearing. Okay, I've done episodes on Julian Assange several times. We are working on trying to get Julian's partner on the show to talk with you guys about what's going on in the extradition hearing as well. But what is needed today, and I think what a lot of people probably don't understand about Assange is that it's a total political prisoner situation entirely, 100%. You know, they did something very similar to Ross Ulbricht, where they dragged him through the mud in court about being a killer for hire. But then when he got to court, they never even charged him with that. It was never a charge, but everybody thinks of him as this killer for hire because they paraded him around the media and in the courtroom like he was this murder for hire. Now they've dragged Julian Assange through multiple countries, not just a single country, not just one court, several countries. They dragged him around and basically said that he espionage and spy and traded secrets and put, you know, national security at risk and all these things that he absolutely never did. In fact, one of the things that they've accused him of was cyber hacking to help Manning get the information that Manning got. But the truth is that Manning brought that information to Assange. That never happened. So there, it's not even really a charge that he's dealing with. And so this is really just an attack on the freedom of journalism. I mean,
whistleblowers in general.
Yeah. Really. Whistleblowers, not just whistleblowers. I mean, you know, you have the right. This is much like the Snowden case too, right? Snowden had the right as a whistleblower and as a journalist, to be honest with you, the right of free press to say, hey, America is illegally spying on you. It's not, you don't get to say that the guy who told on you for doing the illegal shit is the bad guy. That's not how it works. And Assange told on Americans and other countries as well. I mean, that's the thing a lot of people don't realize about Assange. It wasn't just America. He told on every country that he got his hands on for doing illegal shit, doing bad shit. I mean, killing innocent people, breaking the Geneva Convention, all these things that happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. Sorry, guys. So he did these things that should have been perfectly legal for anybody, because our U.S. government and our U.S. military should have never been doing these things in the first place. What's your take on all this stuff going on right now, Benner?
Yeah, man, totally. You said it. And they're charging him just like Snowden with World War One era Espionage Act stuff. It's just totally bogus. It's insane that like a whistleblower would get this kind of punishment or treatment. He should get medals for us from us for doing a service to the American people for unveiling their war crimes. Some of them were troops laughing at killing innocents. It's insane. And I just tweeted today that it's not even good enough to give him a full pardon. You have to give him medals for that. And you have to prosecute Mike Pompeo for trying to assassinate him.
Yeah, well, and I think that first of all, I agree with medals. I mean, this guy needs a Medal of Honor. I mean, seriously, a Medal of Honor, 100%. But not just, like, here's the thing, too, is, like, clemency, right? Like, drop, like, first of all, you can't give somebody a pardon until they're convicted. That's how that works. When I'm going through the rules of the campaign, you know, or going through the rules of the presidency for my campaign, I'm starting to learn a lot of things that, you know, libertarians in general do, where we're like, we're going to abolish the ATF, we're going to abolish the Federal Reserve, we're going to pardon Assange and Snowden and all these people. But the truth is, the president actually doesn't have the power, first of all, to pardon anybody who hasn't been convicted. So if you're still
historically, it's done all the time. For instance, it was done like to Scooter Libby before he was convicted. It's done all the time.
Right. Right. But technically, you don't have the power. So I'm not saying that it can't be done.
I don't agree with you on that one, but I'm not going to fight you.
But I will say this. The president absolutely has the power to go to the Supreme Court and say that, you know, these convictions, not just a conviction, but the whole case needs to be dropped, right? And you do have presidential power with that. But also, any court in this land could look at this case unbiasedly and say that he has freedom of the press to do the things that he did. I mean, I don't know anybody who's actually dove into this case, even people on the other side of issues from me, that's looked at this case with Assange and said, oh yeah, that guy needs to be in prison. Like nobody at all, right? Like
I bet I could call my grandpa up and he would say he needs to be in prison.
The DOJ is saying that. Trump and Biden's DOJ is saying that.
Have we covered the, I don't guess you're late.
No, this is the first topic.
Okay. Have we covered that when people release whistleblowers, we'll call them, when they release information that could endanger military personnel, active operation?
Right. But that's the thing is like, even if they're doing something illegal.
Right.
Right. The onus is on them to prove that they weren't doing something illegal, not on the person Correct. Who reported them doing something illegal.
Yes.
So a whistleblower is covered entirely. Entirely. The whistleblower laws in the United States covers a whistleblower that is showing the public or bringing this situation to a court. It covers them entirely if the situation is illegal for the people they're whistleblowing on. So it doesn't matter. Even if he did put troops in danger, but I don't think that Assange put any troops in danger.
No, I honestly don't think that happened. I'm saying that's the only point. I'm a free speech absolutist, and I agree with whistleblowers. I think that's the only point where I'm like, okay, hold on a minute.
What do you think of the is it War Thunder community that constantly keeps leaking military documents about tanks so they can simulate tank battles more accurately?
Oh, God. Nerds.
Yeah.
Is that the Air Force guy that was arrested not too long ago? Was he part of that community?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And there's a meme. I see it probably every 2 weeks where it's just 0 days without the War Thunder community leaking classified documents.
The War Thunder thing is... was it 40K or something? I'm not into it.
I don't know. I'm not into it.
War Thunder 40 something?
No, there's Warhammer 40K. Warhammer That's being 40K. Made into a TV show starring Henry Cavill.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
That might be up Dave's alley there.
That is levels of nerd I don't dare.
There was a Grantham video where he was doing an exercise with some military guys, and they made their own patch, and it was a war... Warhammer
40K.
Yeah, it was a Warhammer 40K
patch. I believe it.
Like, where'd you get the idea for that? It looks like a Nazi patch. They're like, it's from a video game.
Dave, you like Warhammer? Is that your thing?
No, I am a gamer, actually, but I'm not like a tabletop Warhammer figurine guy. I like ARPGs and classic retro games. Maybe we've talked about that.
Yeah, no, because you've done like gaming content online before too. Yeah,
a pretty big YouTube channel on that. I don't really mix it with politics that much, but I do.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear my friend, who is this wonderful Politico and writer and knows so much about American history, was also like a super gaming nerd that has a very big gaming channel. And because I'm a gaming nerd too, but I don't get into the RPGs and stuff like that. I'm just not good at that stuff.
Well, you're the most normie gamer.
Yeah, I'm a normie gamer for sure. I'm like Call of Duty and Fortnite and
there's a merger with
sports
games
occasionally.
There's drone operators.
Yeah.
That, you know, when they were little kids were playing what? Super Nintendo, probably.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, dude.
N64.
So hey, shout out to State of Zeal for the $9.99 super chat. Thanks, man. He said, "Keep up the great work, Infinite Zeal." He's the man. We love you to death over here, buddy. Thank you. There are people. Let's see. Uh-oh. It says that we got other super chats too, but I can't see them. So maybe I need to refresh the chat. But
I'm not seeing any other super chats.
I see something from Tyler that's got money signs on it. I don't know if it says it's from YouTube. Maybe it's just because he's a James Gentleman too. Benner wrote a good 14th A pamphlet. And James Gentleman also said, "I'm not sure what's weirder, a Cowboys fan from the Bay who lives in Iowa or a Green Bay fan from Minnesota who now lives in Tennessee." Huh.
I think those are just...
Is that which one's weirder, Dave? What do you think?
Well, you're clearly weirder, especially because my team crushed you in the playoffs.
Dude, you guys have been crushing us for a decade, dude. It's not fair at all. I don't know what's going on. I thought maybe it was just Aaron Rodgers, but I was wrong. We have like a Green Bay curse. But also, let me just say that it's definitely weirder for me because I grew up right outside of San Francisco, and San Francisco is like an absolute like historical rival for the Cowboys, like one of the biggest historical rivals for the Cowboys. And all of my friends are Cowboys or Raiders fans. And I grew up they're all 49ers or Raiders fans. And I grew up a Cowboys fan. So it is a little weird for me to be a Cowboys fan. I get that. It's okay. Guys, we got to talk. Okay. So we got a little through the Assange thing, but I do just want to make a point before we move on that Assange should absolutely be released. Should absolutely be pardoned. Yeah. Should absolutely receive a medal. Should absolutely be one of the greatest living journalists alive today. He should be right up there above, you know, Tucker and Greenwald and all these guys. I mean, he really was at the forefront of this like alternative media stuff. And I don't think people understand that, you know, like there was no alternative media when WikiLeaks came out, dude. I mean, you know, prior to WikiLeaks, there was like zines. You know what I mean? Like people were making zines in their basement, okay? And there was literature and publications and stuff. But like WikiLeaks was like one of the first really like serious alternative media platforms that basically put out like real media. And this is as much about the big corporate mainstream news media channels wanting Julian Assange's head for doing those things as it is about a federal government that hates people telling on their lies. It's got a lot going on, and there's so many facets, and there's so many people that are against him, the very rich and powerful elite people. I mean, this is, you know, when I talk about class, you know how I like to say that the left is right to have a class consciousness, but they're wrong about their class, what classes are which, right? They have this, you know, this the boss class and the white class, and there's all these classes. There's only two classes. It's the elite and the rest of us, right? That's true. That's the absolute truth. And Assange made a very big name for himself, stepped on the toes of the elite, not just the government, but, you know, giant corporate news media outlets, giant big tech companies. I mean, like the military industrial complex. These are the people that will, you know, you'll wake up one day with two suicide shots to the back of your head in your backyard, right? Like this is,
we call that the CIA Medal of Honor.
Yeah, it's a CIA
Medal of Journalism.
Yeah, Medal of the Medal of Journalism. So like Assange is absolutely innocent of any charges, first and foremost, but also should be honored as a hero that he is. And I'm sick and tired of you know, our federal government, especially, who's kind of the head of this monster, if you really think about it, when it comes to like NATO. Obviously we're funding like more than 40% of NATO. Okay. You know, we fund countries around the world. We've given, you know, $500 billion to Ukraine. We've given billions and billions and billions of dollars to Israel. We fund all these countries. We do all this bad shit. We've leveled and toppled and destabilized countries around the Middle East for a generation. And we're going to put a journalist in jail for telling on us? No, Absolutely.
Yeah, the ramifications are huge too. I don't think any journalist has really been prosecuted like this in a century since World War One. Eugene Debs was a famous case, but there were others. So this has huge implications for journalism going forward.
It's one of those things, right? What we just saw happen to love him or hate him, Alex Jones, right? This $1 billion lawsuit, right? Journalism is not just under attack, it's at war. And it's been at war in the United States for quite some time. And, you know, there's not a better case study than the Assange case, but also Alex Jones, right? Alex Jones used his free speech to say what he wanted to say about an incident that maybe you agree with him or maybe you don't. We're not going to talk about it on this channel. There's a reason why. But you know why.
That wasn't even the reason for the actual lawsuit. That was the well-known reason.
It was the biggest part of the lawsuit. And in fact, yeah. It just went through court again today. And the families have now pushed the court to liquidate all of Alex Jones's assets to pay the fines.
That wasn't the crux of it, that he commanded people to go chase them down?
No, they tried to use that, but he never did. I mean, there's no proof of that whatsoever.
Can't remember. I heard that on a report. It was like a TMZ thing too. They're like, the actual reason that he's was in court for that was not for the Sandy Hook thing.
That was a very big part of it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there was a big part of it that was Sandy Hook.
Yeah,
but yeah. I could hear him saying something, something along the lines of, you know, let these people know what you think of them or something like that, that could be construed along those lines. But the punishment for that isn't $1 billion.
I think his
completely ridiculous.
I think one of the reasons why they went after him so hard was because he went to Connecticut personally and was like asking questions. But the truth of the matter is $1 billion fine for trying to do journalism is what happened to him. Period. Yeah. I mean, there was no crime committed at the end of the day.
Made, just like Assange, they made an example out of him.
And just like Ross Ulbricht as well. Yeah. But obviously for different reasons, not for journalism, but for creating an e-commerce site that circumvented the federal government, right? Yeah. Like, how are they going to get their taxes? Well, we're going to put you in prison for two life terms. What do you think is going to be the outcome of this extradition hearing, Dave?
Oh, man, I don't know. It just seems like the whole system stacked up against him, but it might be his final appeal. If this trial goes forward in DC, it's going to be a huge media spectacle. I don't know. I don't have a solid enough prediction, but it seems like things are up against them.
Yeah, it's really gross. It's gross what's happening. And it's a war against, you know, I talk about this shit all the time, right? Like the Civil War, right? Civil War, the American Civil War in 2024 has already started. It started a long time ago, but it's not us fighting tanks and drones. It's us, you know, printing our own weapons with a $350 Ender printer in our basement, and it's buying Bitcoin, and it's growing your own food, and it's getting into holistic healthcare, and it's reading, and it's doing all the things that help you opt out of the fiat federal system, right? But there are aspects of freedom that are absolutely under attack, and if you're an American, that's got to scare you. I don't care if you're a leftist. I don't care if you're a righty-tighty Nazi Lucy. Right? Like, I don't care what you are. That's got to scare you, dude. The fact that the freedom of press is under attack, the fact that freedom of speech is under attack, the fact that these foundational American principles that made this country what it is today are under attack has got to scare you. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you are. If you're online arguing that these things don't scare you, you're lying to yourself or you're ignorant. You got to pick one. There's only two options here. Because these things are, this is bad. This is really, really bad. And if you can't, look, if you let these potbelly vampire goblins take away your freedom of press, okay, and take away your freedom of speech, what do you have left? You got your Second Amendment, and you better use it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what else to tell you, because you're losing the foundational principles that makes you American. And you know, I get a lot of shit for saying this kind of stuff online, but it's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. All right, guys. AI, Google AI. Has released some new platforms recently. And no matter what you put in, they make it diverse. What's going on with that, Ryan?
As of now, it won't generate images. It will tell you it never had the ability to generate images. But it refused to generate anyone white.
At all.
anyone whatsoever, and it forced diversity so hard it was beyond parody, where it was like something out of South Park. Somebody asked it to generate English monarchs, English kings.
Yes.
None of them were white. Washington. There was an African man. There was a American Indian. And there was a group of seven black and brown women. Those were the English kings.
Did you see my post on Twitter? I said the text that said, "Show me 1939 German soldiers."
Yes, I saw that.
What that show?
An Asian.
It did have one white guy.
Yeah, it had one. It was the only one I've seen with one white guy.
Only white guy I've seen.
But it couldn't. It could not draw a swastika. It would not release a swastika on there, even though famously all of their uniforms had that on there. It was a black man, Indian man, and an Asian woman. All in these German
Chat GPT 39 has full Kangs.
Well, yeah. this is Google's AI.
It's Google's AI.
Chat GPT.
Google's AI.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember what it's called. It's like $20 a month to use it.
Isn't it Gemini?
Yes, it's Gemini.
Gemini. And 90% of the code had to have been DEI oriented. Man, some of the memes are funny. Phil Labonte posted one where it's like ice cream, and it all turned out to be chocolate.
Oh my,
there's some good
God.
Stuff there.
It's bad. Hold on. My wife commented in the chat. Okay. And she said, "Is Dave from Minnesota? He sounds just like your father-in-law, Joshua." Yes, Dave is very much so from Minnesota.
I live most of my life there, but I'm originally technically from Tennessee. I know I sound like a Yankee, so.
You sound like a Minnesotan, dude. I'm sorry. It's just you must have spent a lot of time there.
I'm doing my best to change you. I'm trying to change.
Hey, I live in Iowa now, and I have a California accent. Let's talk about bad, okay? That sucks. I call people dude, and they just stare at me like, y'all, what now?
Why is the Minnesota accent bad?
We call people dude all the time.
Now, because we've infiltrated. We've basically taken over all your institutions like the communists have in America.
Ryan, it's
of
an
course,
Aldi, it's an
all
Aldi's
of our
moment.
Institutions are communists, and they all came from California.
It's Aldi, not Aldi's. Okay?
Ryan, it's an Aldi's
Aldi.
Moment.
It's
Aldi.
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 God, you guys are gay, dude. So is this, I mean, is this, I've, you know, this isn't new. Okay. This AI thing with this diversity and this like forced diversity stuff is not new. We've been watching it with Chat GPT for any other,
it's not
any other
AI.
Stuff they put out.
We shouldn't even call it AI.
No, it's not AI.
We shouldn't.
It's not AI.
It's not new, but it's never been this intense.
We'll only know when it comes to killing
us. I saw people bullying it that it wasn't being inclusive enough. Because they asked it to generate vanilla pudding, and they acted upset that the vanilla pudding was white, and so Gemini made him progressively more and more brown as you bitched more.
That's pretty great, dude. I'm not gonna lie.
To me, the takeaway here is that what people call AI is going to be, at least for the next decades, a reflection of who builds it, right? I mean, we speak a lot about AI and like the hypothetical, like it's going to be self, kind of have autonomous thought processes and stuff like that. But really, it's kind of a reflection of the builders so far from this.
Yeah, which has mostly been the progressive left of center people building it. I mean, that's really, you know, if you really dive into
California.
Yeah, they're all in Mountain View, dude. Like, and look, and let me tell you something, dude. I've been to the Google campus in Mountain View several times. Okay, you can literally, there's just free bikes everywhere. I don't know if you know this about the Google campus in Mountain View, but you can just pick up a bike and ride a bike around anywhere you want.
There must be a lot of white people.
Just a ton of free bikes, dude. Yeah. Like everywhere, all over the campus. And you walk in, they have like a giant trampoline floor in the lobby. Like it's like the coolest place in the world to work. There's no doubt about it. But they definitely have courted like the middle class, like white liberals in the area to work there, and then imported, you know, 50% of their work staff from India.
Yep,
literally. And you know, it's kind of this, Indians are just really big on working in tech and call centers. Like, that's really what they do, which, to the behest of me, my job uses an Indian call center for our IT stuff.
100% of the calls I get.
It's so frustrating.
Pakistani or Indian.
It's so frustrating because I'm like these really complex computer issues that I don't know how to handle. And I like trying to understand what they're saying and I can't. But anyway, so there isn't a lot, and it's really kind of sad, to be honest with you, that this, you know, this big tech hub in California has been overrun by these left of center Democrat progressives, whatever you want to call them, liberals. Some of them are absolutely like radical leftists as well, and they're the ones building the internet tech infrastructure, man. You know what I mean? And I'm not just talking about AI. I'm talking about everything. There's a reason why certain ideas will get you kicked off Google. There's a reason why certain ideas will get you kicked off the Amazon servers entirely. Like, even if you were to start your own website, okay, that no one is forced to go to at all, they can pull you off the servers until you know you can't have a website on our servers anymore. Where do you go after that? You know what I mean? That's crazy. Amazon servers are like 90% of websites, dude.
Yeah, it's like Amazon and Microsoft primarily.
Yeah, which isn't any better. Microsoft isn't any better.
Yeah, and there's some other ones, but not a whole lot.
Microsoft is constantly, by the way, because I work in data centers, that's what I do. And Microsoft is constantly trying to headhunt me and recruit me. And I can only imagine if I was to go work for Microsoft, what it would be like. I mean, it'd be 2 weeks. 2 weeks before they'd be like, oh, you're fired. I mean, it would be 2 weeks if max, you know what I mean? And Facebook too. Facebook has a
Joshua
big data center.
Joshua DeMore.
Yeah,
exactly. New James DeMore.
Dude, I'm serious. And Facebook has a big data center here too. They're trying to headhunt me and they pay really good, dude. I mean, Facebook data center pays for what I do for critical facility engineer. I mean, we're talking, you know, starting pay over 40 something, 50 an hour. I mean, it's big, right? But like, could you imagine if I went to work for Facebook? It would be a week. It'd be 1 week.
I did apply to Meta.
Of course you did. At one point. Oh, yeah, it's Meta now. I forget. It's not Facebook.
And I have worked for Microsoft before, and it was awful, and I hated every
minute. Yeah, well, every critical facilities engineer that I know that has worked at Microsoft is like, you'll make more money there, but you will be so unhappy. So unhappy. Have I ever told you the story of my friend who worked for Pacific Bell? Do you guys remember Pacific Bell?
No.
No, what's that?
It was a phone company from the West Coast, really big, one of the biggest. In fact, I think AT&T bought them out eventually.
I've always been AT&T here, right?
I think AT&T bought them out, but my friend worked in the call center for Pac Bell, and he walked in, and it was just like hundreds, like a bullpen of hundreds of cubicles. And he sat down, and then a guy kind of slowly comes up over his cubicle and goes, hey, you an alcoholic? And he goes, no. And he goes, you will be, and slowly sat back down in his cubicle. Those places are hell, dude. Like so my buddies tell me that Microsoft's like, that's what Microsoft is like. It's like this, you know, job that you have to worry about the politics of the job, as opposed to just doing your fucking job, which should be the important part of doing your job, right? Like, I'm a very good critical facilities engineer. I'm very good at what I do. Okay, I understand HVAC, I understand power systems, I understand, you know, UPS and data and all this stuff. Like, I understand, it's what I do for a living. And it's a very specialized, like, it's a very specialized facilities job, right? Like, I'm not just a maintenance man, okay? I get called a janitor online by the haters all the time. They call me a janitor. I'm like, do you realize that I had to specialize in my industry for over a decade to get to where I'm at right now? I specialize in my industry longer than any of you went to college. Okay, to get to where I am. And you know what? By the way, janitor is a very fucking respectable job. I have a brother who works in the big hospital in California as a janitor. You know how much money? He makes more money than I do. He makes like $50 an hour. And he's the shop steward for his union. He tells me all the time, he's like, yeah, man, I'm like the mob boss now, dog. He's all sleeved up, got tattoos all the way up to his chin. He's like a super, he drives a Cadillac and wears like, he's got a Beamer now and he's got shoes that match his Beamer. You know what I mean? Listen to that rap all over the place. And he's like, he's going to come on the show sometime. His name's Chris Connors. He's like, dude, you got to have me on your fucking show, bro. It's going to be sick, bro. It would be hilarious. It would be so funny.
You'll be successful in this country as long as you're professional and you keep at it.
He's not either of those things. He's not professional at all.
You just described a professional.
No, dude. But he's a janitor, and he's the lead janitor at a hospital, and he makes fucking 50-something bucks an hour, dude.
That's
he's
a professional.
He bought a house like in California. I'm like, damn, dude, you're a janitor. So janitor is a very respectable job. I don't give a shit what any of these people say, but I'm not a janitor. I'm a critical facilities engineer. I deal in data, dog. Thanks for the super chats. Kevin Brady, $2 super chat. He says, I'm in the shower watching you. Hope you're stoked. We are, dude. We're proud of you, buddy. Level zero, $5 super chat. He said, awesome. The education to create AI is gatekept by communists and academia. They'll have it until academia isn't the majority communist. What do you think about that, Dave? You think that's true?
Probably true in terms of like how it's infected, but I don't know. NVIDIA seems to be like the chief catalyst to some of this stuff now, and I don't think a ton is known about what their positions are on this stuff. You know, we know what Google and Facebook and companies like that have said, or at least their executives have, but I don't know that there's much out there about NVIDIA, and they seem to be the trailblazer right now for everything.
Yeah, them and AMD, I think.
And the thing is, it's not the people actually building it that are ideologues. It is the people managing the people building it, because all the people building it are pretty much just massive autists who love nothing more than finding a unique challenge to solve. They want to find, they just want to solve interesting problems, and programming is the profession to do that in. But a lot of them don't really give a crap too much about politics, because they're pretty much single-minded people about programming. But the project managers and whatnot, and all the people assigned to herd the cats of these people that aren't necessarily the best communicators at times and need herding, they're the ideologues, and so they put in these standards.
Yeah. Anyways.
The nerds are the ones that create like the software for the drones and build them, but they're not the ones that fly them and drop ordnance onto Russian men in trenches. That's the idea, right?
No, no, nobody like, from America is dropping drone bombs on like, Russia now.
It's revenge of the nerds.
If America starts dropping
drone, and they'll go.
If America starts dropping drone bombs on Russia, we're fucked. It's going to be a world war. There's no doubt.
Wait,
about
did
it.
I say it? Ukrainians.
Ukrainians. US? I thought you said Americans. Yeah.
You know what?
You haven't drank enough yet.
You know what? The
sorry,
best.
Guys, I meant Ukrainians. "Quote unquote."
Yeah,
the Ukrainians are dropping ordnance on Russians in trenches, right?
Yeah,
and vice versa too. Yeah. I think it's happening from both sides.
Where are those drones coming from?
Well, they're like China. I don't know. Have you seen nerds, have you seen these drones?
It's revenge of the nerds.
Have you seen these drone bombs that they're flying though?
Yep,
they're like super rudimentary. Like
no, there's really, different types.
They're dropping. They're like these little. They're basically like my drone that I have, and they're yeah. like dropping hand grenades.
Yeah. Well, no, they're dropping like artillery shells.
They were literally they're the videos that I've watched. They're literally dropping smaller
drones that are spotters. It's a system. I'll link the video when we're done here. But there's FPV drones that are very very fast, and those actually fly into a person with ordnance.
Yeah,
those are different. These motherfuckers are flying those into tank catches. By the way,
that's wild. All right, guys. Nick Fuentes is the voice of Gen Z. Have you guys heard about this yet?
Oh, God.
There was a poll taken online.
It was just a general question by general guy question. I constantly bring up, what if Alt Hist? He might be my favorite content creator. But he just asked, who's the Nick voice Fuentes, of Gen Z?
Nick Fuentes might be your favorite content creator?
No. What if Alt Hist?
Oh. Yeah, I thought you meant Nick Fuentes.
No.
So Nick Fuentes, so in the comments of the question, over 50% of the answers.
Yeah, it was Nick Fuentes.
Nick Fuentes is the voice of Generation Z. Now, I'm going to tell you why I don't have a problem with this. Because it's probably true.
Oh, okay.
It's probably true. Look, here's the deal. I think that Fuentes is really gay sometimes.
I think he's a twink.
I don't care what anybody says. He acts really gay about a lot of things. But he is that kind of like Gen Z ire of the huge, huge, insane shift away from like normalcy in the United States, right? Like if you were to throw away his white nationalist talking points, which is what everybody calls him, I don't know that all of his talking points, a lot of them are Catholic, okay, because he's a Catholic. a lot of his talking points come from Catholicism. Okay.
Yeah.
But so if you threw all that other shit that everybody holds over his head all the time, you know, he's an American first, like return to normalcy, strong family values person. And I think that, you know, when the pendulum swings so far that you have biologists telling you that actually men can breastfeed, okay, which just the
gross,
the British HMS just put out last week. They put out a paper on it, how with the right amount of hormones, men can breastfeed.
Well, okay, not only can they, it's healthy. It's just as good for the
baby. As good as the moms, is what they said. Okay, which by the way, I don't know if you know this, but there's you know, women have the ability when a baby's saliva touches their nipples, that actually tells a woman's body which immunities to build for the baby. And men cannot do that. I don't give a shit what you tell me. Okay,
if somebody in a room sneezes, the mom starts producing antibodies.
Yes.
To that
sneeze. Like immediate, dude. You'll never convince me that a man can do the same thing as a woman can do when it comes to babies. Anyways, and I've seen a lot of babies. Let me tell you. You guys know how I roll. But anyways,
you had me at man nipples.
Okay, so anyways, in a society that has swung the pendulum far enough to get there, you know there's got to be a hard swing back, dude, okay? And I do believe that Gen Z is the hard swing back. I'm watching these young kids online that are pissed off. They want everybody who's not American thrown out of their country. They want a return to normalcy. They want the left chucked from the helicopter, right? Like this is young people in America that feel this way, man. My 12-year-old comes home from school and reiterates things that I've heard online on Twitter sometimes. And I'm just like, dude, these young kids are literally swinging the pendulum back. And like, maybe you're not okay. And we'll have Iggy Normus will be on the show in next Tuesday, I think. Not this coming Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. And he's kind of a Christian nationalist as well. And there is this kind of like this young group majority feeling that, you know, my generation and the generation before mine have destroyed this country entirely. And I said it last week on the show that we have to be the strong men that bring good times, or our kids are going to have to be it. Right. And I think that they're doing it. I think they are. I really do believe that. And so when I see like, you know, people on Twitter, kids on Twitter come and say that Nick Fuentes is the voice of Gen Z, I don't disbelieve that.
I think Nick Fuentes is a weak man.
Here's the thing about Nick Fuentes.
I don't care.
Here's the thing about Nick Fuentes, dude. You can call him a weak man all you want. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like Nick Fuentes, okay? But I will say, to say the things that he does publicly, you can't be a weak man, dude. That's bravery to say those things, okay? Because those things get you kicked off platforms. They get you on no-fly lists, which he's been on, okay?
He
can't fly, dude. The guy can't fly. Okay. That's not me saying that I agree with him, but it does take a brave person to say those things publicly in 2024, where they can literally steal your PayPal account, dude. You know what I mean? Where they can literally get into your bank and freeze your assets, dude. Like, it takes bravery to do that shit. And all this shit has happened to him. It's happened to Owen Benjamin too, who I don't particularly agree with on, you know, 90% of the shit he says, but it's happened to him too. Right. Yeah. So it takes a brave person to say those things, even if I don't agree with them. It takes a very brave person.
You gotta respect
them. It doesn't take a brave person to talk about Che Guevara, which is like, oh, this communist revolution, it's so brave. No, it's not. You guys are literally made it the mainstream narrative. It's not even brave at all. So I think that this, you know, when I hear this and I laugh about this Gen Z, voice of the Gen Z, Nick Fuentes, of course we're all gonna laugh about that, but the truth is, like, that may be true. It may be true, dude. I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
Well, to be honest, you might not even believe this, but I've not heard a minute of Nick Fuentes's content at all. I don't know almost nothing about him except what people say about that he's a white nationalist. They say things about him that are like indistinguishable from what people say about like Dave Smith or Donald Trump or people like that. I really don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, listen, I haven't watched a lot, I wouldn't say a lot of his content, but I subscribe to Censored TV, so he's on there, there's clips, they have shows with him on. I've watched a few of his debates. I really don't think it's as controversial as you might think if you listen to it. I'm not saying I agree with him 100%, but I don't see what the whole big deal is, really. I mean, it's just because he canceled, right? So it's forbidden fruit. So everything he says is going to be the game of telephone because you can't share his content. He's banned and censored everywhere. So, you know, good luck finding us. Go look on YouTube for Nick Fuentes' content.
You won't find him on YouTube,
right?
No.
It's gone.
You won't find him or anybody else right. on censored TV.
So even
on
if you're
YouTube.
Curious to be like, I like everybody has, you know, when you get sour milk, you can't go, oh my God, it's so sour. Smell this. And then you smell it too. Like you want to see how bad he is, but they don't want you to do that because maybe he's not that bad.
So, well, that's
or,
it. Well,
or is that worse than drone bombing a little girl? You know what I mean? Like yeah. I wouldn't prosecute yeah, exactly. someone for unclean thoughts. I mean,
yeah, definitely take Nick Fuentes over Obama drone bombing a wedding.
Listen, it's accurate what you said. He's a white nationalist.
Yeah, I think he is.
You're saying that instead of white supremacist because people conflate those.
Yeah, I think he's not a white supremacist. He wants a white nation.
He's a white nationalist. Sure. Yeah. He's like, hey, yay white people. That's it. He's not. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Nick Fuentes is better than the central bank system. I think Nick Fuentes is probably better than the military industrial complex.
Do we want to hear Gen Z facts now?
Let's hear some Gen Z facts. Let's go.
About 60% of Gen Z women aged 18 to 24 and 30% of Gen Z men belonging to the same age group reported having one sexual partner in the past year.
Wild, dude.
One.
There's literally like a return to normalcy in that generation. It's happening.
Well, that's the thing.
So.
I do.
I don't think they know what normal is.
Thank you.
They're so lost.
Thank you.
They're so hopeless. They're so lonely that they're ready to do violent things.
Yeah, Josh, you see,
they're the least lonely generation in my lifetime, dude.
Hold on.
They're the most lonely generation in history.
They're the least lonely.
They're the most lonely, and it's not close.
Josh, very interesting. You saw that as a good thing. You said this is a return to normalcy, saying we have too much sex.
Oh, yeah.
Do you realize how far the pendulum has swung back the other way? Like, that's a lot. One sexual partner in a year? Hold on. Let me read these age groups again. 18 to 24.
Yeah, that's really...
When you were 18 to 24, did you have one sexual partner in
a year? I'm not
going to
talk about that on the show.
No.
Okay.
I had zero.
I'll talk about it on the show. This is nuts. This is like antisocial behavior. Let's read another one.
That's good. That's
25% of Gen Z adults reported that they have not yet had partnered sex.
Good.
25%.
That's based. Very based.
18 and over.
Yes. Very good.
Are virgin.
That's a very good thing.
Here's the thing. It's almost all unintentional.
No, it's not, dude. You have not been in the real world, dude. Absolutely not.
About four. I am one of the few people out there that intentionally waited till marriage.
No, you're not. There's a lot of people that are doing
it. Yeah, it's about 4% of people in the United States.
The amount of on purpose abstinence in the United States has risen by like tenfold over the last 8 years.
Let me give you one more stat. This is chicks, okay? This is
a good thing. I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I don't know why anybody would see this as a bad thing. Let's see how this one goes over,
okay? Okay, so about 19% of Gen Z women aged 18 to 24 reported having no sexual activity in the past year.
Good.
Compared to 12.6% of millennial women aged 25 to 34 reporting the same.
Good. We're going the right direction, dude. That was the norm when my grandma was a kid.
Okay.
That was the norm
even when my mom was a kid.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. Are you kidding me? My grandmother was born in 1942, bro. Yes, it was normal.
To be sexless for most of the time, like between 18 and 24.
Bro, what are you talking about?
Most people were married.
Okay,
most people were married. They were having sex.
Okay, so?
Yeah, they were having one sexual partner.
One sexual partner.
But
okay.
Just straight up not having sex
good.
Is not normal.
That's good.
Okay, one That's more. Good. Nail in the coffin, Ryan. Ready? 30.9% of Gen Z men aged 18 to 24 reported no sexual activity in the past year. Compared to 14.1% of millennial men aged 25 to 34.
Absolutely based. 10%
more. So, like, you know what I'm saying? 18
to
24 and then 25 to 34.
Good.
It's like the next age group of millennials.
What do you see that's bad about this?
Hold on. No sexual activity in the past year. That's not a good thing.
That is a good thing. That's a great thing.
Zero.
Very great.
Why is that good?
It's good.
Do you know who commits revolutions?
They're supposed to be married and having kids, Josh.
Okay.
They're supposed to be married and having kids at 18 and 24.
Do you think that?
That's the trend you're saying is happening. That's not happening.
So
they're going, I'm scared of women.
Listen to me. 25% of Zillennials, we call them, Gen Z. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
What was it, 25%?
Yeah, 25% of Gen Z adults.
25%.
They have not yet had partnered sex.
So they have not gotten married and they're not having sex.
Well, that doesn't say marriage.
Yes. No. That's the thing.
It says partnered sex.
Okay. So what is happening is they're not getting married and they're not having sex. Okay. But that doesn't tell me what's happening with the other 75%. How many of those people are actually married already? Okay. Because there's marriages in America are actually going up with the younger generations. I don't look that up. Okay.
The younger ages.
Look up with the Gen Zs. Gen Z is getting married younger than the millennials. Millennials waited till they were fucking 40 to get married, dude. Okay. Literally, like the millennial generation fucked marriage rates in the United States up by leaps and bounds. Okay. Because everybody was out fucking raving and partying and finding OnlyFans and having sex and doing all this absolute degeneracy. And now we have younger kids that are
in trouble here.
What?
How are these Gen Z people getting married if they aren't going on dates?
What are you talking?
Like, yeah, I think it's somewhere around 30% of people.
Dave's an old man like me.
30% of young.
What do you, Dave? How do you feel about those rates that you hear with the Gen Z?
No, I generally agree with you. I mean, I would be considered Gen X or Millennial. I'm kind of on the borderline, but I got married late. A lot of my friends have really gotten married late. I do think that has happened. I wasn't aware that it's kind of swung the other way that you said, but
I do have an article that supports Ryan's theory here.
Go ahead.
This is from what counter?
Here's the thing. Everything
thrivingcenterofpsych.com
is going to support my theory.
What's that?
Everything that you are going to find will support my
that
theory
won't.
Because
yeah, I think it will.
I've looked into this a lot.
They won't.
Because it's tech guys writing it. It says wedding bells aren't ringing as much nowadays. It says U.S. Census Bureau statistics: 1 in 3. 15 or older have never been married in 2022.
That's 15 or older? Hold on. Very good.
Some states it's low, dude. That's up from about 1 in 4 in 1950. So in 1950, 23% had never been married.
Yes.
Here we are, 2022.
Now look
1
up
1 in 3.
Now look up 2005, dude. Okay.
2005. Okay. Yeah. This is all talking about, just by the way, the gist of it is their attitude towards marriage is they want to hook up and like settle and like live in partners, but they want to wait to get married. They don't actually want to tie the knot right away.
I disagree with the Gen Z. Said. That's millennials. Millennials did that.
No.
Yeah,
so 73% feels too expensive to get married in the current economy.
Yeah, young men don't want to take the risk. They don't view marriage as worth it. A large section of them.
Do you understand that marriage is up in that demographic since the 1950s? Did you not just hear what he said?
No. It went up. The not married trend went up.
Yeah, less people are getting married.
There's more not married.
So 1 in 3 is not married?
It was 24% or whatever in 1950, and then...
Find what it was in like 2010, dude. I bet you it's gone way up in the last 10 years. Dude, people are putting way bigger emphasis on things like the young generations. I'm not talking about 25 and up. I'm talking about 20 to 24.
Maybe we're not talking about Gen Z.
That is Gen Z.
What's the next one?
Gen Alpha. But Gen Alpha isn't old enough to get married yet.
Yeah.
So Gen...
I don't know. Are they 15?
Right. Hey, listen.
No.
This is 15. Listen.
Maybe.
Here we go. 15. I'm just going to put it out, and then we're going to end this segment because we got more stuff to talk about, and I don't want to keep Dave all night long because he's got dogs and stuff that he's got to go take care of. I know how it goes. Listen, I'm going to end the segment with this, though. I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Less sexual.
Yes,
active.
Dude. Absolutely. Okay. Listen, 21 years old, you should not be focused on sex. You should be focused on making your life fucking perfect before you start focusing on other women or women or men or whatever it is. Absolutely 100%. This whole... American cultural idea that you need to go out when you're young and fuck everything that moves and party your ass off and do all these things is bullshit. It's always
been
bullshit.
I never said that.
No, but that's the culture that we've lived in, okay? And it's bullshit. It's destroying the brains of young men and young women. And I do believe it's part of the pendulum that's swinging back. I think that the younger generations are going, yeah, we're not going to just fuck every person. I think that that genuine connection is going to come back. I think faith is coming back, making a huge comeback as well. We're watching people talk about faith. I don't think you know what you're talking about with the younger generation, dude. I really don't. I really don't think you know.
We just had a statue. One in three Gen Z men report having zero close friends.
Yeah.
What do you mean genuine connection is coming back?
I think that genuine connection is coming back when it comes to relationships.
12% previously.
Josh, they're not even fingering. They're not even
good.
Fingering.
Good.
They're not even fingering. Talking good. To people. They're good. Sitting in Listen. Their rooms, jacking off and getting radicalized.
I don't believe that, dude.
That's what they're doing.
I believe that that's the fringe, dude.
They're too scared.
I believe
to
that you're talking about your they're own experience.
Dude, no, I'm not.
The dark shadow army of incels will rise. The dark shadow army of incels will rise.
Okay. Anyways, China is not going to hit its climate change goals. I thought this was a funny article, by the way. And something to move on to from this really weird argument that we're having about kids having sex.
No, fingering. We were talking about fingering.
What?
Adults. My wife is
Gen Z.
She's
an adult. 18 to 24, guys.
Yeah, these are kids to me, dude. 18 to
24. Go to a fucking movie theater. I'm just kidding.
No.
Let's move on.
No. China is at risk of missing climate change targets. This country that has a social credit score that literally imposes on its citizens that it socially has to act in a certain way to be able to use their bank cards, which are basically on their every phone. I don't know if you guys are aware how China works, but their entire life is digital on a phone, everything. And then at any moment, the government can shut it off. It's basically what would happen in the United States if we went to a central bank digital currency. Okay, one of the most evil things you could possibly imagine happening in this country would be for them to put us on a central bank digital currency. And if you are not fighting back and pushing back on the government that's actually talking about doing it right now, you're missing the boat, dude. Trust me. So it's funny to me that this country that runs this like very serious social credit score system is not going to hit its climate change goals. So like, what does that do in the long run for people, you know, people's views of the CCP? What do you think, Dave?
I don't know. I mean, I can just say I believe it. I've been to China twice, although it's been, I think, 14 years since I've last been there, but they've kind of, you know, shrug that stuff off, although I've implemented, as you say, most other things that would characterize a social credit score. They're definitely not going to make the ESG ratings that US firms are supposed to. But I don't really have a strong opinion. I just want to keep trading with them and not get into rattling sabers over Taiwan. So,
yeah, which is also part of this segment. The US has come out and said, at all costs, no matter what, we will protect Taiwan. This is, I talked a little bit about this on the show, and I've talked about this on other shows, but since 1975, when Nixon basically told China, you know, that he was the big brother to Taiwan and that America would maybe protect Taiwan if you went to war with Taiwan, and then went to Taiwan and said, we may not protect you if you start fucking with China. It's worked. We've never had a president since President Nixon that has told China, we will go to war with you. Not one, not a single president has said that. Not even Obama, not the Bushes, the war hawk Bushes, not a one has said this. Not Reagan, none of them has said that they would go to war with China over Taiwan. Okay. Now we have the Walking Dead, literally Weekend at Bernie's, being held up, walking to the helicopter and the podium, saying that at all costs, we will go to war with China if they push Taiwan. Now, I talk a lot on the show, too, about how this is the most hypocritical bullshit ever in foreign policy right now, because we're currently telling Ukraine to go take back their rogue province, and we're telling China that they're not allowed to go and take their rogue province, right?
So, I'm scared. I'm scared, man, because the dissident right, I'm scared that they will rattle sabers with China. I mean, say what you want, but I think the dissident left is better on foreign policy right now because they're not willing to do that with China or Israel.
Right.
And some of these right-wing dissidents, I mean, I agree with them on quite a few things sometimes, but that, I'm very concerned.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see, and this is another sad swing too, where I think we're starting to see the right swing back to the war hawk version, the George Bush, John McCain version of the party, especially evangelical Christian right in America with the Israeli stuff. I mean, that really pushed people, all these anti-war rightists, pushed them right back into the war hawk camp. I mean, immediately. And, you know, and I talk a lot about this on the show, and I get into the scripture and how, you know, the sons of Abraham are all the people who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Okay, Jesus told us this in the New Covenant, which, by the way, is not some white nationalist replacement theory. It's literally in your text. Okay. And so to see the evangelical right, like, basically cluck to the demands of Israel entirely is disgusting to me, because your Bible basically tells you that the people there don't accept Jesus Christ and they're not God's people, right? But they're telling you that they're God's only people. And so, like, you're cucking to this country that's taking all of our tax money to fight wars in the Middle East that we don't support. And it's really, like, kicked the Overton window for the dissident right, not just the dissident right, but just the right, the evangelical, like, Christian, yeah, right, which is a huge portion of the Republican Party. I mean, really fucking big portion of the Republican Party. It's really kicked them back into the let's go destroy the entire Middle East part camp, when most of them had been kind of come to this conclusion. It was like, okay, Afghanistan went on for 21 years and they lied to us about it. And okay, we were wrong and Iraq was bad. And now we're bombing Iraq again for the fourth time since I was 9. Okay, we're talking almost 40 years of bombs in Iraq. Iraq is a desolate wasteland now because of the American foreign policy. And it used to be a big, you know, Baghdad especially used to be this big, beautiful city with all these, you know, normal people that live there, kids and dogs, and it's just a wasteland now because of American policy. And you're going to go back to that shit because of Israel, because of this small country that's telling you you have to support them at all costs because God commands it? Like, God doesn't command it. In fact, God has said that not to return to the Holy Land, right? The motherland, until he returns.
I call it America first, except trade my child's future for Israel's. Right. That's what I call this line of reasoning.
Yeah, I really want Christians to understand, like, you either believe in the New Testament and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. That's literally, like, the only requirement of Christianity now. Like, literally, that's, like, the biggest requirement is accept Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you will have grace. That's what the New Covenant was about. That's what the New Testament was about. It was like not having to live under Mosaic law anymore. Okay, the Mosaic law, the sacrifice of Mosaic law, ended when Jesus Christ died for your sins and became your Lord and Savior. You're a Christian. Read your Bible. Just pick up your New Testament. It's really not that hard. You could do it on your phone. That's what I do. I read it on my phone all day long, and it'll tell you right there, like, you're not supposed to be cucking to this Holy Land because that's not the Holy Land anymore. Israel is a citizenship of the heart for all the sons of Abraham, which, by the way, are the people who accept Jesus Christ. I know AJ's over there falling asleep. Sorry, buddy. I'm giving you a sermon. Yeah, but
Christians don't like blood sacrifices. Ask me how I know.
Yeah, exactly. And that was part of blood sacrifices was part of the Old Testament, part of the Mosaic law, right? Like, this is the law that they lived under, this harsh Christian law, until Jesus came and saved us. So, like, read your Bible. If you don't believe in the New Testament, then you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. That's how it works. That's the truth. The truth of the matter is Jesus was a reformer who reformed people from Judaism to Christianity. That's what he did. That was his whole purpose, was to bring people to the light. Okay? He was your Savior. He saved you. He died for your sins. He came back. He returned. We believe that as Christians. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe in your New Testament, stop calling yourself Christian right now. Anyways. Dave, you're pretty Christian, buddy. You believe in the New Testament, right? In the New Covenant.
I agree with what you said entirely, man.
It's crazy to me. But anyway, so we go back.
It's crazy to me. Let me just add this real quick, Josh. It's crazy to me when, like, our friend Reed Coverdale knows this way better than a lot of evangelicals as an atheist. I've seen him talk about this, and it's just incredible how many people miss out on the basics.
Crazy. What do you?
James Gentleman just put in the chat, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior doesn't appear in the Bible once. But Jesus does say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one shall come to the Father except through me. So that's close enough there, James.
I love you, James, but there's...
That's good enough.
There's a lot of passages that are almost verbatim, to be honest with you.
That was my piece.
That was it. That was all you had.
Yeah. When I say my piece, I stop talking. That's how this works.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He has spoken. Ryan has spoken.
How are you feeling over there, buddy?
Feeling good. I think you were saying about if you it was about what was he saying about trading for futures, our children's futures. Oh, trading our children's futures for Israel's, right?
Yeah, it's like the mentality. I'm trying to kind of expose the hypocrisy, right? And Josh hit it on the head when he said, you know, these American first people, just that evaporated once Israel came into the mix. So it's America first, but still, I'll trade my child's future for Israel's, right?
Yeah.
I agree with
James,
that. When
you James said has that, asked that, me to show. Him. James has asked me to show him. James, go read Romans 10:9. It says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It's literally like the basis of the New Testament, my man.
This could spiral out of control, but I agree with James and the fact that baptism is considered induction, particularly in Acts 2 and also 1 Peter 3:21 and 22.
I wouldn't go
on a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we could do this, but I won't say that baptism. I won't say that baptism isn't required. I think baptism is required as well. Let's just put
that's going to divide a lot of people, but I agree.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, we do need to remove Judeo-Christian from our vocabulary. It's not a thing. It's made up to control Christians. 100%.
Hot take.
Let's talk about Thomas Paine, my man. You've written a book. Called Thomas Paine, The Life of Radicalism. It is a kind of a biography in your own studies, which this man, how long did you study to write this book?
I studied and wrote the book over about 4.5 years. I've read almost every major biography that's been written on him and all of his own writings that we have, which is not that crazy to say because we only have about 120 letters of his, whereas like Thomas Jefferson, there's several dozens of thousands of letters, but I have read basically everything there is to read on him
of Thomas Paine. And so what's your favorite, like, what is it about Thomas Paine? And I mean, really, we all kind of know that Thomas Paine was just really lit, dude. I mean, he was
an OG, man.
He was an absolute badass. The guy came over from Britain and basically was like, yeah, I'm going to write these people into a revolution. You know what I mean? But, so, what was it about Thomas Paine specifically made you want to write this wonderful book? And what are some of your favorite things about Thomas Paine?
Oh man, there's so many, but the chief reason I wrote it because most of the biographies really miss out on key things about Paine. I thought that really needed to be explored, especially his dabbling in proto-socialist ideas, believe it or not, proto-Georgist ideas, and also his religious views. But really just his radicalism. I mean, his movement and what he was trying to inspire, it didn't rely on any kind of party politics. It relied upon defense of basic rights and really radical ideas that only fomented because of common sense. And it came from a guy that was so unlike the rest of his generation, where you had Madison and Washington, Jefferson, were all these rich aristocrats, American aristocrats, essentially. And there's redeemable things about all three of those men. But Thomas Paine was a commoner, and he wrote like a commoner, and he inspired people like a commoner. He brought these really important high-level academic ideas to the mainstream because of how he communicated them. And there was nothing more radical than to call for severance from Britain in 1776 when he wrote Common Sense. And, you know, America at that time was largely as pro-British as it ever had been until the run-up to, you know, the Tea Acts and the Stamp Acts.
I think divorcing Britain in that time was as radical as it would be to call for national divorce today.
Yeah, I think more so, actually, because, you know, their press was not even the same as we have today. They did have something kind of like of an independent press that we do, but it was really based, man. And he was called out for it. You know, the historians would call conservatives back then. One of his chief rivals called him a, quote, crack brain zealot for democracy. If you call someone a Democrat in Paine's time, it's like calling them a white supremacist. There was nothing worse to be called.
Yeah, it's really wild when they say the party switched. It didn't really.
Yeah, not really.
The rhetoric changed.
Yeah.
I think there are some things that they switched on, of course, but I think that, you know, especially Lyndon B. Johnson took the Dixiecrats to be quiet in the back room and keep their racism in the back room, and so they can control certain populations. But yeah, the Democrats were always known as the racist party. I mean, that was especially back then, I'd imagine, Dave, right? Especially.
Well, Democrats didn't really exist until Martin Van Buren kind of was the architect of the Democratic Party to get Andrew Jackson elected. I know sometimes people say like, oh, Jefferson was the founder. No, he founded the Republican Party.
Right.
It's a post antebellum way of historians looking back to call that Democrats, but what have you. But just you also asked me some of my favorite things about Thomas Paine. Also, he was an ardent abolitionist, hardcore throughout his entire life.
Very anti-slavery, yeah.
Yep, played a role in getting the 1780 Manumission Act in Pennsylvania passed. He was what I call America's first whistleblower because he blew the cover off of a scandal called the Silas Deane Affair, where there was war profiteering in the Continental Congress, and he suffered for it reputation-wise until it was realized that he was totally right. And also just the fact that he was an ardent secessionist. The term didn't really exist the way it does today, but when it was most unpopular, he backed this idea because he didn't believe that America was going to be compatible with the British Empire anymore. And I think that's universally applicable to today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. Wow. But you're shaking.
Sorry,
your
I wanted
there.
To you go some... off on those three.
No,
things.
I want you to. I want you to listen. I want you to talk a lot about. I wish we, you know, talk more about the book. Of course, we do current events and stuff on the show. But where can people get this book at, Dave?
Yeah, DaveBenner.com. So my first name, my last name.com. There's a link right in the middle to that that goes to my store. You can buy the books, hardcover, softcover. You can get it personalized. I will not endorse Joe Biden. I won't sign it that way. Don't ask me to do it. But there they are.
Have people asked you to do that before?
I have to just do a disclaimer, man.
Okay, all right. No. I was like, I'd be weirded out if somebody that was like a fan of Thomas Paine was like, you must endorse Joe Biden. That'd
well,
be so
you'd be
weird.
Surprised. There's a lot of like Georgists that love Paine because really he inspired Henry George, and you know, he kind of called for the first progressive income tax in Western history. And a proto UBI scheme that Andrew Yang cited in his presidential election. So he wasn't perfectly libertarian, but you know, he certainly was radical.
Yeah, I thought it was strange. I had a Georgist arguing with me about abortion the other day. I said, "Really, dude? You're calling me a statist for my views on the murder of children, and you want a land value tax? Like, you're calling me a statist, and you don't even want people to own their own land? What the hell are you talking about? How are you calling me a statist, dude? That's crazy to me. At least there's some moral claim to my side of this kind of argument about abortion, right? Like, I have a moral obligation to make sure that, you know, babies have their individual rights also respected. And you're telling me that you think people should have to pay a land value tax ad infinitum forever on their land. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. How you could call me a statist. Sounds kind of stupid, right? Do you know what Georgism is?
Not a clue.
No, that's okay, buddy. Dave will explain it to you, right, Dave? Tell him what it is.
Yeah, so I'll do it really succinctly if I can. So it's based off John Locke's principle of the labor theory of property, where Locke said to, you know, acquire property in the first respect, you mix your labor with resources that exist. Both Locke and Paine and George agreed with that. But where Paine diverged, and that was influential on George, is he thought that because the creator gave us all the land in quote unquote the commons, part of that land is owed as the inheritance to everyone living in a particular society. So he thought that once a landowner cultivated part of that land, the proceeds had to go to every member of the society, part of them. I think it's bunk. I'm with Murray Rothbard on this, and I think that that's junk, but that's what Paine and that's what George thought.
That sounds like some communist propaganda to me.
Yeah, it's like happening. I mean, really, truly, it's happening today with property tax already.
Yeah,
really.
If they want to voluntarily give back to the community like that, I absolutely encourage that.
I think you should voluntarily give to your community. I really do. And if the community and the state and the federal government weren't attaching my wages, right, like for their own ends, yeah, I would totally be happy to work on my own street in my own community and give to a local independent school. And you know what I mean? Like, I'd be totally happy to do that stuff. It's just crazy to me that they think you have to be forced to do, because they know you wouldn't support half the shit they do anyways. That's what it is. Hey, what do you, Dave, what do you think Thomas Paine would think about Bitcoin and you know, this alternative currency market and trying to opt out of the central banking system?
Oh, I love you asking me this. And Jethro, I don't know if I'm saying it right, he'll love this question too, but I think he would have been intrigued by it. Now, Thomas Paine wrote a tract that was really a hard money treatise called Dissertations on Government in the 1780s. And that was actually controversial because at the time you had not only the Continental Congress at one point printing paper money fiat for the first time, the Continental, and currency wasn't worth a Continental. That's where the saying came from. But also the states issued bills of credit that rapidly depreciated and caused a total inflation crisis. So Paine writes this book saying money is money and paper is paper and all the inventions of man cannot make them otherwise. But he was going off what was generally considered to be money at the time, and that was bullion specie. But I do think he would have thought of the idea of competing currencies being an interesting one, especially a decentralized one. But I will say at one point, Paine did like back the central bank of the U.S. when Robert Morris first engineered the first one. So I think Paine would have been intrigued by it, but Paine wasn't perfect on this, even for his time.
Sure. Sure. Were there any founding fathers that you think would have been all in, hands down, on this?
Man, I mean, it seems like people like John Taylor, Luther Martin, maybe would have been really intrigued by this. The big Federalist financiers would have loathed this. So like James Wilson, Robert Morris, Gouverneur Morris, Alexander Hamilton would have thought this is loony stuff. But there would have been some that was intrigued, hypothetically, I think.
Nice. Nice. We need a new founding. I think that's
Andrew Jackson would have put all of his money into Dogecoin. That's just the kind of guy he was. He would have been all in on that shit.
Well, Dave, I love you to death, man. Thank you so much for coming on, dude. Why don't you tell all these great people where they can follow you, listen to you, support you, read your writings, all those good things.
Yeah, man, take a look at the screen at dbenner83. Twitter I'm most active on because it's the most base platform now. Facebook's freaking poison. I used to like it. Don't anymore. Check out my website, www.davebenner.com. You can get my books there. I also help run the LP National Twitter. Thanks, Josh, for having me. Love your show. Thanks for everyone that asked questions.
Are you part of the Twitter, or are you the Twitter, dude?
No, at one time I more or less was, but right now it's basically me and another guy. There's technically three people. Yeah.
I was wondering.
It's a team.
I know that the majority.
Can
of
you
the
tell?
Time
can you. You tell the? Can you tell?
I know when it's you. I know when it's you for sure. There's no doubt about it. Okay. You always have the base tweets, but you are also So I follow your historical tweets or your historical Facebook posts, on your Facebook all the time, and so like I know how you write. You know what I mean? Like also read your book 100 times, but that's for a whole nother story. And so like I could just tell. I can just tell when it's you writing.
I hope it's a good thing.
No, it is. It's a good thing. And you're not like, you know, if it was me, I'd be like, oh, I'd call it everyone retards and nerds and stuff like that. You're very like, you know what I mean? You're very succinct about your thing.
They picked the wrong guy.
But I also know that you use like big words and stuff. You know what I mean? Like words that I have to pull out the dictionary for. So I know I could just tell when it's you, man. But I love you to death, man. I appreciate you. You're one of the coolest dudes in the whole movement. And please keep going. Let us know when you got a new book out, but everyone should go and buy Thomas Paine, A Life of Radicalism right now. And then also buy Dave's other book, Compact of the Republic, as well, because it's also good. I have that one nice and personalized here as well.
Thanks, man. And I'll see you in Pennsylvania. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, see you next week. And, man, I'm stoked, dude. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Dave.
Peace.
All right, guys. Another great episode. Dave is amazing. Just one of the coolest guys in the world. And honestly, like, just super down to earth and nice, but also fucking will outsmart you on the history of America.
I can tell.
I think the only person I know that has that kind of knowledge about, well, not just the founding fathers, but the Constitution, and anybody at the 10th Amendment Center, I guess, really. Mike Mahari or any of the Mikes. Michael Bolden, those guys as well. Anybody who's allowed to write for the 10th Amendment Center has to have a knowledge on this stuff. And, you know, I appreciate them because they're much, you know, I try to tell people a lot of times, I say it on the show all the time, I'm not the smartest guy in the room almost ever, but I surround myself with a ton of really smart people and they make me better. and I appreciate him for it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Dave Smith going on Rogan and saying, well, I just read a lot of really smart people and I can remember their things, right?
Yes.
And that's the truth. It's really who it's, you know, my the vast majority of my foreign policy stuff comes from Scott Horton, because Scott Horton, if you want to know a guy who's got a Rolodex for a brain when it comes to this stuff, that's the man. He's the guy who knows it. I don't care how much you hate how he presents it, how angry he gets, or anything that you have to say about him as a person. What I care about is that man. I have never, ever read anything from that man and not been able to go and verify it right away. His footnotes in his books are almost annoying. Like, it's almost to a point of being annoying, because he literally cannot write something down without proving it all the time. Dude. All the time. That's how he does it. And Dave's very good at this stuff, too. So go buy Dave's books right now. Go buy Dave's books right now. Don't even wait. Just go buy his books right now and support this man. Anybody who's going to write those kind of books for you, we need to lift them up, not bring them down, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, go buy the books. It's worth it. It's worth the money. And you can get it personalized from Dave. And so when he's, like, you know, on the New York Times bestseller list repeatedly, you'll have a book signed by the man. Because probably once he's on the list, he's not going to be signing your books personally all the time anymore. So do it now. Guys, we got another we got some great shows for you next week. I think Jamie from Gays Against Groomers will be here on Tuesday.
Let's go.
So she'll be in the oh no, yes, this coming Tuesday. I think the following Thursday, typo from Biting the Bullet, and the following Tuesday we'll have Iggy Normus from Steve. I think his name's Steve. But he goes by Iggy Normus, and he does the Call Me Ignorant podcast. He's a Christian nationalist. That's going to be a fun show for me, because we can get into some stuff. And nope. And AJ will like it too, even though he's not a Christian.
I'll just have a lot of questions.
It's really funny because, look, dude, you agree with Christian nationalists on so much shit. I'm going to tell you that right now, dude. So Maybe. Much shit, but you're I not Christian. It's really weird to me. It is very strange to me. How you're very, very right Christian nationalist territory without the Christianity. All right, you got anything before we go?
Follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, share.
Please share and follow the show. Share. Yeah, share and follow. Look, if you guys are hanging out and you like the show, subscribe. You don't have to come to every live show, but it'd be nice if you got nothing to do. You pop in, you see a live show, because it alerted you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some yep cocks in the chat for Ryan.
Oh, yeah, yep cocks.
He doesn't ask for yep cocks anymore. AJ, got anything before we go?
You know what? Do super chats, too.
Yeah, we do like the super
chat. Drop a $5 super chat, okay? We know you have it.
We'll always
read
the
super chat. We want you to voluntarily do a super chat so we don't have to come make you do it.
We'll always read the super chats until, like the we had, what, 3,000 live watchers on Rumble last week?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
It was a lot. And, like, if we start getting live shows like that, we may not be able to get to all of the super chats. But I will always pick super chats to read. No matter what, forever on our show. So we appreciate you guys. I love you to death. Yeah, my Six Emperor Tyrannus shirt that I'm wearing tonight. Jay Thrall's pointing that out. That's actually got Karl Marx with an axe on his head, too. I don't know if you can see it. Probably we're going to get demonetized. That is Karl Marx cool. with an axe in his head. It's a pretty base show. It's a pretty base shirt. I love you guys to death. We will see you next Tuesday. If you're in the California area, Southern California, especially Anaheim, Orange County area, I will be in Santa Ana for the Libertarian Party of California's state convention. I'll be there Friday and Saturday, and then I'll be flying home on Sunday. And then the following week, I will be in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for a presidential debate at their state convention. And then we will be driving over Saturday night to New Jersey and central New Jersey. I'll be doing a their state convention Sunday and flying home Monday. So if you're in any of those places, come say hi, man. I'd be more than happy to see and hang out with any of you guys. I love you to death. I'll see you on Tuesday. Don't forget to break the cycle. To explain the lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain, but I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. What chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold? Accusations of incitement getting totally old.
Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just banned it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless there's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. No product dinners, guessing clothes from COVID.